Hi, Siobhan. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
As always. Well, today we thought we'd get together and talk about, well, I think in general, how else can I describe it? Good people doing good work here in the county.
It's the season of giving.
It is. It's definitely the season of giving. And I think what we want to emphasize probably is that giving doesn't just stop in the season just because we're in a good mood. It happens year round. And there are things that all of our people doing good work need throughout the year, throughout the fiscal year.
Absolutely. And I think there's an extra emphasis as we all finish out the year and think about not only our charitable legacies, but, you know, our estate plans and our tax plans and all of that, that causes over 75% of charitable giving in the United States to happen in these last 4 weeks of the year. So a lot of activity in the last 4 years, but you're absolutely right. It all adds up to something about our presence in our community throughout the year and keeping everyone whole and safe and thriving.
And Siobhan, talk about presence. Do we have presence or do we not?
Oh, it's incredible. Truly the most generous community I've ever been a part of. I had no idea when I moved here that the extraordinary level of engagement, caring, and support that were part of the fabric of this community.
The other thing that impressed me about this community is that they are actually creating templates that other communities can share.
Absolutely. We have all kinds of new ways of folks giving. And really, I mean, everything from the COVID Response Fund to the Housing Solutions Network to the many giving circles in our community, there are so many creative ways that people are finding to come together and work on the big issues.
Well, Siobhan, give us some examples of what we got around town. I know you're not at a loss of words or knowledge for everything that's happening just because of your position there on your perch.
It's true. It's been my my dedicated kind of area of expertise for the last 25, 30 years. And really thinking about how folks can give with impact, that it's not about an individual gift that someone gives. It's about all of us building our legacies in and with our communities. And there are some really really creative ways that folks are doing that. I just mentioned the giving circles. That's when people come together with their families or friends and pool their money and make a decision together about what really matters to them as a community. It's one of the few areas where it's kind of democracy in action through philanthropy. And we have the Vintage Gratitude Giving Circle here, the Better Living Through Giving Circle, and the early stages of an LGBTQ and BIPOC giving circles starting. So very powerful. Another area that we're seeing significant growth in, by the way, the giving circles are the fastest growing form of philanthropy in the country, actually. So people coming together to make decisions about where their community resources go together.
I have a good friend in Seattle that's part of a giving circle.
They're doing some incredible work. There's a women's giving circle there that has, I think, over 250 members, actually, right now. So while the ones we have here typically have 10 people or 10 to 15. They can be designed however you want to design them. And the Community Foundation here does have resources for anyone who'd be interested in kind of exploring that. On that note, Chris, let me just say, I'm going to be talking about Jefferson Community Foundation occasionally throughout our conversation this morning. And I just want folks to know that we're a resource to everyone. You don't have to have a fund at the Community Foundation. We're happy to share our information about charitable giving, about our community, the nonprofit organizations, the issues that we're all facing. So I just can kind of weave it through there and just let folks know that we're one of 800 community foundations all over the country. So just know that this kind of resource is available to you, whether you live here full time or this is where you have your second home. If you're living in Seattle, for example, Seattle Community Foundation is an incredible resource as well.
You know, Siobhan, people that tune in may not know, surprisingly enough, we've explained this before, but I think for those maybe listening that don't know what a community foundation is, maybe you could just briefly explain that.
Sure, yeah. So each Community Foundation has a geographic designation, and it's our job to know what the issues are facing the people of that community, what the trends are, the opportunities, the obstacles, and also to know the nonprofit organizations that are working on those issues and what's going well, again, where the gaps might be, where a charitable donation can have the exact right community building impact that both the community needs, the nonprofit needs, and the donor wants to see. So we're kind of putting those puzzle pieces together and sharing all that information with local donors so that each gift can be informed in the context of the others and can build into not just one gift at a time, but into sustainable, stronger systems over time.
And I think one of the most important things there is to recognize the synergy between certain people doing certain works and how they all fit together, like you say.
Yeah, one of the roles that we play is convening nonprofits that work on similar issues. So, for example, the last year and a half, we've been convening food providers, mental health providers, financial assistance providers. And so that helps us not only get a picture of what's going on, but it helps them coordinate and build their services together. One example is last Christmas, through our conversations, we learned that there were about 60 students in the school systems in East Jefferson County who didn't have a food plan for the holidays. They were able to come together and meet that need by coordinating, and that could have been an oversight had they not been in the same room kind of coordinating. So it's not just about the money. It's about the relationships. It's about the knowledge. It's about the ideas. And having a community foundation can put all of those things together so we're a stronger community.
We'll talk about relationships going beyond the community foundation. I know you wanted to elaborate on a few things here.
Yeah, it's all about the relationships.
Yes.
And, I kind of in preparing for this, I kind of was thinking, you know, what are some of the things that our local nonprofit leaders might want their donors to hear, but might not want to say it directly. So I thought I'd take the opportunity to maybe help build some stronger relationships by sharing some of the kind of the thoughts of nonprofit leaders as they work with their network of donors here.
Good for you, Siobhan. I see that twinkle in your eye over there.
Well, you know, it can be hard, that donor relationship.
Yes.
Can be hard. And because it is authentically about building a relationship over time. And frankly, nonprofits are pretty misunderstood little animals, you know. I think it's much easier to understand a business where there's a service or a product that you buy. But when you're talking about hunger or poverty or the arts or economic development, it can be hard to understand how nonprofits operate and how to be the best donor that we can all be in the world. So some of the things that I would just lift up for folks to think about are, you know, really respect the expertise of nonprofit leaders. I think that it is misunderstood. It's not as easy as a product or a service all the time. It can be very complex. And they're too busy and have too few resources. So just take the time to get to know them, ask what it's like to be a leader, and understand that it's not quite as cut and dry as what folks might think. The other thing is to really think about a long-term relationship. So I think it can be very kind of attractive to make a gift and see, you know, something come out the other side immediately. So for example, our food banks are incredible. And if you make a gift, you know someone's going to be fed that week. There are other organizations that need to do their work over time. For example, our housing organizations. That's a heavy lift. It takes a long time. So being a patient and supportive donor through those periods where it's not going to be as easy as you give a gift and there's a bed that comes out the next week, you know.
That's right.
That really being a patient partner over time is really important. And then lastly, I would say really consider general operating funds. Trust your leaders, your nonprofit leaders, to use those funds to their greatest need in that moment. you know, restricted money, again, as gratifying as it can be to be able to say, I gave this money to support this specific outcome, frequently that leads to under-resourced operations, and which takes me to the biggest issue in nonprofits here, and that's living wage jobs. So when we don't give to general operations, we end up paying our nonprofit staff under living wage. We figured at the Community Foundation, a minimum wage in Jefferson County should be $25 an hour to afford housing here. And so you can see if nonprofits have challenges raising general operating support, that leads to lower wages and really undermines the health of our overall workforce.
It does. I mean, it causes this domino effect that affects not only the ability to live and stay in town and share your talents, but also there can be morale issues, obviously.
There definitely are. And I think that, you know, we think about the major areas of need. You know, living wage has to be on the list. I was kind of challenging myself to think about, you know, where do I give my charitable gifts in Jefferson County? Where do I think the greatest needs are? Absolutely affordable housing, child care, equity and social justice, environment. And while someone might not put it on their charitable giving list, typically living wage jobs is absolutely part of the puzzle that we have to solve.
That's right. And then, of course, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking to some very interesting people in the next couple of episodes.
Definitely. We're going to be speaking with Center Valley Animal Rescue, and Jumping Mouse is coming up also, and they do such important work in our schools. And again, I mean, Jumping Mouse, again, that's a great example of an organization doing very critical community work that takes time. You know, it takes years to help work with students and young people on trauma. And so, again, just another example of being patient.
In their case, it also, you know, when you have dedicated staff, they really need to be supported, in their case, as counselors.
Definitely.
For one thing.
So general operating, that's the name of that game is, you know, really, I think, more and more, especially through a social justice and equity lens, there's a stress on general operating support from donors. So I thought maybe I would also just help folks think about how they might consider their charitable donations in the short term. I think beginning by thinking about the issues that you care about, obviously, and if you don't know the nonprofit sector in Jefferson County, again, please contact the Community Foundation. Jen Kingfisher is our manager of nonprofit relations, and she can share with you anything you want to know about a certain issue or a certain group of organizations. And she can be reached at jen@jcfgives.org. That's JCF as in Jefferson Community Foundation. Jen@jcfgives.org.
Jen's a great asset. She's like going to a well and bringing up a bucket of fresh spring water. You know, she just knows where to get it.
Well, and she manages those relationships so beautifully. You know, Jen used to be a teacher here at Swan School, and she has transformed into just such a wonderful program officer at the Community Foundation. And her ability to think critically about things like capacity building and resource provision for nonprofits blends so beautifully with her ability to manage a range of relationships, which is really, again, what we're talking about.
Right.
I mean, we're all in this together for the long term. And so I think having productive, sustained relationships over time is where it's at. And Jen really deeply understands that. So in addition to thinking about the issues that you might want to fund, I also encourage folks to think about the nature of what you're funding. So if you're not going to do general operating and you want to consider other ways, you know, of course, basic needs is one kind of a very easy way to make a difference quickly. The United Good Neighbors campaign, Give Jefferson, is running right now, and you can go to givejefferson.org, and there's a list of 33 organizations that all provide for the basic needs of our community. It's more important than ever during the pandemic.
I'm just looking at that list. It's pretty impressive.
It's incredible. We have amazing nonprofit leaders here who are doing this work every day of the year. And all of these organizations have been vetted by a volunteer group, community outreach group, who actually looked at their applications, made the phone calls, made sure that every dollar this community gives through the Give Jefferson campaign will make a difference. And our goal is 300,000. We're up to, as of this morning, 125,000. So Give Jefferson.
We're getting there.
And so that's a very easy way to support basic needs. Another area to consider is capacity building. And a lot of folks don't think about that with their nonprofit partners, that the nonprofits themselves need leadership training and to stay current on the issues that they're working on by going to conferences or staff retreats, things like that. And I think that there's a growing number of donors who are willing to ask those questions, like, what do you need as an organization to strengthen, you know, your organization in ways that you're having a hard time funding? And so I just really encourage folks to think about that. And then lastly, really systems changing work. So I think there are ways to, for example, Housing Solutions Network is a great example of many partners coming together in one space to work on many different aspects of housing. So being willing to create and support spaces in our community where people come together to work on big systems challenges, I think is another way to think about how you might, if you're thinking about charitable donations this year, how you might be able to make gifts that some people don't always consider.
Correct. There's so much out there, but it's really, really important, I think, and I tend to agree with you that it's really important to think about what it's like to live here, what it's like to have a good, healthy demographic that runs the spectrum.
I can't emphasize that strongly enough. And that really is, there are tax advantages related to charitable giving, but the real advantage is a personal expression of values and an engagement in building the future of the community that we want to see here. And I feel so fortunate to be in a space that is really a platform and a hub for people to come together to do just that, design and build the future of our community. Because frankly, we're at a crossroads. We have to decide, are we going to be a place that supports working families or are we not?
What are we going to look like? And all we need to do is look around to similar communities in similar, not necessarily similar areas, but similar communities with similar problems and to see where they ended up.
Exactly. And we have everything we need to build the future we want to see. We have the heart, we have the money, we have the ideas, we have the skill, we have the experience. We have a strong community foundation. We have everything we need. And I think that it really depends on whether we're all going to stay in our lanes, disconnected, making these decisions by ourselves, or whether we're going to come together and inform our choices in the context of each other's giving and community engagement and build something that has the strength and the power to take on these big issues and to take on something as large as the future.
Any cappers?
Just that I would, again, just remind folks that the Community Foundation is here to help as a resource. I want to thank all the nonprofit leaders out there who give extraordinary amounts of heart and soul and energy. And to all the donors, thank you for being the engine of community here. And Give Jefferson, and happy holidays to everyone.
I wanted to tell everybody that our theme music is As If We Didn't Know. I thought that's rather an appropriate theme song, don't you think, Siobhan?
Indeed.
Philip Auberg off of his album called Upright. And just wanted to let you know about that. This has been another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays here at KPTZ with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. And we always meet to discuss new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal as we flow along with the vaccines into the months ahead. Thanks, Siobhan.
Thank you, Chris.
See you next time.